It just occurred to me just a little while ago when I was actually thinking, which I tend to do a lot, that if you have to identify something, that means it doesn't really have any identity, because you have to identify it and put a label on it, and before that time, it's not. It doesn't really have an identity. So, all this, the tendency of the mind to believe that it's identities that exist is what makes us think the body exists as a identity being yourself. And the same thing with anything else. Anything you identify it as is gonna appear to be what that is, just by the fact of identifying it. But like I said, before you identify it as something, it's not really, it doesn't have an identity, really. Wouldn't
To identify yourself as a something, to see other somethings. If you're formless, you know you're formless, there's no identification with the body, then there's no identification with anything.
that.
There's no identification because, in order, like, I have to understand that, oh, John, in a world, I'm an object in space with other objects. That then create the concept of time and duality, where this is just not the case.
So that gets the whole ball rolling as soon as you identify something.
Yeah, you are the first. Yes. If you don't, that's why I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. It kills all the concepts. Even to sit there and say, I think this is not correct. There's a flow of thoughts. You're basically aware of a flow of thoughts. You identify them as my thoughts, and therefore you create an illusory thinker thinking these thoughts when it's just a flow that you've identified with through just, oh, I'm aware that I'm thinking about tomorrow's lunch. But this thought is just coming. You say, tomorrow's lunch that I am going to eat, or I need to plan. Then in reality, there's no doer, no deed, no thinker, no thought. All of those things are created with the primary concept, I exist. If you identify with the sense of existence as the formless presence, then there's no thinking in the formlessness. Or you could say the entire world that you're seeing or appears before you is now your thought. Because you're formless. You're no longer believing that, oh, I'm this body, and thinking occurs up here. When I have a thought, I'm like, oh, I'm mentating, whatever. No, now you understand I'm formless, and the world that's appearing before me is my thought, including this little object that I used to identify with that I now know I am not. It's the same in dream. In dream, you identify with an object, you see other objects, you move around, there seems to be actions, doership, deeds, thinking, movement, everything. But you wake up and you're like, oh, it wasn't true. None of it. It was an appearance. So again, you say it appeared formlessly. Forms appeared out of the formlessness. And a scene was there because there was a identification with a specific body form within the dream that created, again, within space, an object with other objects, and creating the concept of time and duality. And you do it every night. And even the night is not exactly true. Because, like Maharaj says, the sun doesn't know, oh, I'm not out at night. The sun is just the sun. It's a perspective and a perception to say, oh, it's dark. There's no sun. Even, I think, Sridhara Maheshwara Maharaj says, first thing in the morning, you're seeing the sun rise, but you also see the moon. And none of these are the moon is not setting and the sun is not rising. The
So
sun just is.
something is making it all possible to seem like it's possible, to seem like it's actual.
Identification. Identification with the body that sees the sun rise and the sun and the moon.
What makes identification possible, though?
Well, the sense of existence. You believe I exist as this body. Your mom and dad tell you, this is your body. You're John. I'm your mom. I'm your dad. And you're part of this family. And again, all that's body relations and body understanding, body knowledge, because of identification with the body. The formlessness clicks with the body and says, I exist. I exist as this. Then the sense of doership is impressed as you do good things and bad things. And people say, oh, you have a whole life ahead of you, and make sure you take care of this and take care of that. And you start to strongly impress identification with this body form. And then you learn the most horrifying thing. You can be injured and you can die. And it freaks you out because in reality, the formlessness, you can't be, you're not born. You can't die. You can't be harmed. But because of identification with the body, suddenly now there's a fear. Oh, I can die.
So I guess there is no answer for sure in reality, there's no answer for to say what makes it appear, makes appearance appear to be other than the formlessness in the first place. What makes appearance even possibly able to mistake itself for form?
But there's no real mistake because there's never a form and there's never anything actually happening, just like in a dream. You identify with this body that lays down, sleeps at night, formless consciousness, so to speak, creates a little dream movie appears. You wake up, it's all finished. Well, waking state and dream state is both consciousness. There is no waking consciousness and dream consciousness. Unless you're identified with a body form, I am asleep or I am awake. These are just states on your statelessness.
I think you probably see why I'm asking this question is why I'm trying to
No, I
identify,
don't.
trying to identify the, I'm trying to identify the beginning, what makes identification possible? Why is identification possible?
And this is going to help you on your deathbed, how?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That you see why I'm asking though, because or maybe you don't.
I don't know because, see, if you're formless, then all these concepts of identification and all this sort of stuff, it's body-based knowledge. You can throw it all away.
Okay, then there's form. Okay, if there's formlessness, that means there's also form. So that's a duality.
No. Because formlessness is just a word we're trying to use to describe that you are, that if you sit there and spend some time with yourself, you'll know that it sucks in all concepts and you have no desire to know anything
Yeah, I guess
because
that's
there's no one there to desire the knowledge of anything. You are the knowledge. You're no longer taking shape or form through concepts of saying, I am knowledge or I need knowledge or I exist. Because I exist is not correct. Knock, knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. But somebody had to be there to say nobody's there. Prior to the sense of existence, you existed. But with no knowledge of your existence. Because there was nothing other.
The knowledge came with the identification, right?
Knowledge came with the knowledge I exist.
And then it identifies itself, and
I
then
exist as this body or as this form. There is an existence. I am alive. All of these are concepts, though. It's not true.
but that's where identification kind of comes into play and makes it
No,
appear.
not necessarily. I
You
mean, the
see,
sense of existence doesn't have to identify with anything. That's your natural state.
it doesn't have to, but it does.
Well, it doesn't. No.
It
It's only
appears
through
to, it
concepts that you're
appears to.
believing that you're identifying with things, but you're actually not. So once you know yourself in a real sense, this is tossed away. You don't identify with anything because you're nothing. And then that's where you can say, my thoughts, I am everything, because this world is appearing before me. But this world is just imagination, an illusory existence. And then people say, oh, but you can't say it's illusory because that's anti-life. No, it's not anti-life. It's the absolute truth because it's like a dream.
It's actually better than life than if you're everything. It's kind of like life is limiting in that sense.
Well, and life in itself is a body-based concept that has death attached to life.
Yeah, so that's not
I
so
am
good.
living a life, I am
That's not
born,
so
and I
good.
will die. If I believe I'm born, I have to believe I'm going to die because I'm not immortal. However, if there's no birth and death, then I'm free of this concept.
And when once you that's when you start to be unaffected by what they say karma might be, or
Well,
you
karma
know.
for who and for what? The presence is as playing as Keith, as Alan, as John, as Renee. So who's karma? Which karma? Now, you could say within the body-based illusion, just like in a dream. Let's say in a dream tonight, you smack somebody, they smack you back. Well, that you could say is karma. There was an action and reaction. However, that was within the dream. When you wake up, your face is not sore, and you know you didn't hit anyone.
Just like when you heal, your face is not sore, so actually you don't really know that it really even it no longer exists, so probably never did. Sort of like that. Yeah,
When
that's
you wake
really.
up, it's all done. That's why we talk about you're swimming. You could be swimming in your dream. When you wake up, you're not wet. You could be running in your dream. Now, sometimes, due to the body impressions and due to the fact that you identify with the flow of thoughts and consciousness, you might be running in a dream and wake up either out of breath or heart racing because you are so identified with what's going on that you're raising your own heart rate.
Also, like when I said that thing about healing, Ramakant says that this is what we take to be life is a long dream. So, in that long dream,
Did you just cut out? You said in that, and then you disappeared.
I was saying the Ramakant says it's a slow dream, so or it's a long dream. That we have that the body heals and that it takes time to heal would be sort of like somehow a slow dream kind of.
No, like a plant. If you feed and water the plant, it grows. If you're mean to the plant and cut off a leaf, it's going to take some time for the leaf to come back.
But here we're
If you
making
don't
a concession.
water the plant, it gets dry and all the leaves crinkle
We're
and
talking
such.
about leaves as if they exist now.
Well, as if you're no better or no more than a blade of grass or a plant, because that's the reality. This is a five elemental body that the presence has identified. I am this. I am somehow important. Even I take offense when somebody says you're the same as a plant. How dare you say I'm the same as a plant?
So now you're saying that the presence has identified. So now you're saying that,
Well, what we're talking about is within this illusory state, this illusory dream world that we call reality for a time. The identification is, I am this. Once you know you're not this, then there will be no more questions because there's nothing. It'll be just like as if you were asking in a dream and you figured out the whole dream. You know how the dream's created. You know how the dream consciousness animates all the bodies. You know that you're just formless within the dream consciousness. But here's the deal, you wake up. What did any of that matter? When you know yourself in a real sense, it absolutely doesn't matter. That's why any try to figure it out or whatever, the only way you can figure it out is to give it to mind. Mind came along with body. Mind gives you concepts. And that is what Maharaj says, you have to break the circle of illusion. Because otherwise, the circle of illusion, it'll keep you. If you were immortal, you still wouldn't figure out your reality by trying to mentate or think or use concepts. You
That's
break free of the circle by knowing yourself in a real sense, direct recognition in the projection, so that I am that. Therefore, all of this can be done. I am not body. So if I ask a question, it has anything related to do with a body, I know it's a wrong point of view. The wrong files, as Maharaj says. What is the solution to wrong files? The antivirus software, mantra, meditation. Oh, I have this question. Oh, but you know what? If I didn't have a body, this question wouldn't arise, and I am not body, so I just need to stay with my selfless self. And as you do that more and more and more, because otherwise, give it to your mind, and you will ask, like, Siddharameshwara Maharaj used to say, you can go and ask questions after questions after questions, and you will never break out of the circle of illusion. Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, spend some time with you. Otherwise, what is the point? He used to say, we can go on talking for hours, for days, and it will do zero. You have to spend some time with you. Then you have a doubt, you clear the doubt. But the doubt is to be cleared, not expressing another doubt. That's why Das Bodh is the way it is. There's a doubt, there's an answer of the doubt. As you continue to read through Das Bodh, you realize that every single doubt is cleared by the end of the chapter, and then we'll set up the next doubt that a doubter might have. Until the very end, when it basically says, you understand God has written this book, and that this book is for God, to read about God, to understand God, to remove the concept of being this small individual, this jiva, so to speak. And it says that plainly in Das Bodh. It's like, this guru. This Sadguru has now answered all of your questions, and you should be now yourself. Congratulations. And that's how it's set up, the whole thing. Because that's the reality. You can never not be that. Only through concepts, only through imagining that you're something other than yourself, can you pretend to be a limited something. So don't do that. Why would you? That's like Maharaj who said about the beggar boy. The boy, he's out there begging, 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 and somebody comes to him and he says, why are you begging? Your parents left you a lot of money. You have a lot of money in the bank. He says, oh, you're making fun of me. I'm a beggar. And he, no, please come to the bank. He comes to the bank. He sees the millions. Immediately he stops begging. He's not a beggar. He's a millionaire. And you're not a beggar. You're a millionaire. You might believe yourself or even pretend to be a beggar in the moment, but you have millions in the bank, meaning you are that. You're not limited. You're not small. You're not something that needs to figure anything out. You are that. That's it, because that's all there is. Even if you don't believe you're that, that's okay, because you're that. You say, oh, I'm not convinced. Okay, but you had a body with a mind that convinced yourself that you're not convinced, but you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Mind came along with the body. Throw that away. Next.
You did sort of answer my question about my at the beginning of the talk. I asked, how does the first identification even happen? Well, it happens within the illusion, so that.
Well, that's the only place that anything can happen.
So that's that was that's the answer that I'm looking for.
That's why Maharaj says, he says, nothing is happening, nothing is ever happening, nothing will ever happen, because there only in the illusion can things happen. Just like a goldfish swimming around the bowl might have a whole life. You add another goldfish and they have a little goldfish family and they believe they're living this beautiful life, but it's all within the goldfish bowl. You know this because you're outside of the illusion. Now, although you can never actually be outside of the illusion, by knowing yourself in a real sense, you automatically know your right position. And therefore, you're outside of the illusion, even though you're using the illusion to know yourself in a real sense. Because a body form's available. You go to a guru who is actually your own self, who tells you you're your own self. If you have complete faith and trust in the master, then it's yourself speaking to yourself, and you're convinced. The conviction comes. Oh, so that I am that. If you look at the master, and that's why in the beginning I had a hard time reading Ramana Maharshi, because so many of Ramana Maharshi books are like, oh, Ramana Maharshi. He is, but it did too much of the guru worship. And
Much
also, even it
chemistry.
would say, like, Dr. So and so from such and such a place came to Ramana Maharshi and he was having lunch and then said XYZ. But this is the
I used to think
truth is,
that.
it's your own self. Yes, you can have respect. And Maharaj says this too. You have respect for the masters, but you do not elevate them above yourself. That's almost a sin because you are that. And to separate yourself and say, he is a great and I am just an aspirant, no, it's not true.
Yeah, I used to
That's
think
why.
that Ramana was better because he didn't smoke, and this argued out of smoking.
But again, this is in the illusion. So many people on the videos from the YouTube channel, they cry about that. Oh, he's smoking, he's smoking. In reality, he knows himself in a real sense. The smoking is occurring, but there is no one smoking. The formlessness can't smoke.
Voilà.
And with Ramana Maharshi, now I read it and you hear it, you see the same. It's the same. And even you start to see through the layers that he was speaking the same. But the people were interpreting it much more like Ramana. And luckily in our lineage, this is not the case. Yes, the guru is passing on the knowledge. Yes, there's respect. Yes, of course, there's selfless self-devotion. But the guru is never to be put like, oh, he's so superior. Because there's no superior, there's no inferior, there's no nothing. Except your selfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatma, no master. So there cannot be a higher or lower.
I've found that my devotion somehow it's not it's a little bit, I don't know, there's something not genuine about it until I start losing identification with myself, and until I start feeling a little bit of like what I call bliss or like looseness from myself, my devotion is kind of ungenuine. It's just kind of like mental. But then once I get a feel for actually being myself, then it's like, well, yeah. Then the guru appears to be the same self that I am. So it's like I love the guru. Then I'm really truly devoted.
And as long as you think of yourself as something separate, then devotion is definitely a necessity. Otherwise, you get ego. Oh, I am that. That's why one of the things I didn't like so much in the early days was this whole creation of a Ramakant Maharaj Bible by some of the disciples. They actually said, oh, this is the new Bible or whatever. And I didn't like that. I don't even know if you can look that up and find that anymore, but they were doing that a lot on Facebook of like, this is the book and we've leather bound it and we've made it the Bible because you are God and all this. And it took it a little bit too far, and you could tell there
Yeah.
was a lot of body identification as this wondrous feeling of I am God, rather than the knowledge of removing the illusory layers. And the discovery is, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. And I'm not criticizing. It was just something that was happening in the
Well,
early days.
it's setting up an identification.
Yeah, which was I didn't like that so much. And Maharaj just said, ah, they do what they do. So that was one thing. He would never,
He
like,
didn't tell
you
him
could
not to
sit there
do
and say, this is happening, and you know,
it.
people are the only time ever he said anything negative about anything was in the USA talks. Some folks and devotees had asked that there be donations to a cause, to a Ramakant Maharaj Foundation. And he went crazy on that. He was like, no, there is no Ramakant Maharaj Foundation or any other kind of foundation. He said, we have a small box in the ashram where people and you know, they might make a donation, but it is not necessary, and we don't want any donation. There's no Ramakant Maharaj Foundation. And then he talked about the not having pockets. You're not born with pockets. So that was the only time that I ever saw him like forcefully say, don't do that in my name. Because the foundation was supposed to help like pay for his travel and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, I shouldn't, now I'm kind of beating on the early guys, but anyway. So that's what we're speaking about when we talk about the whole, you know, putting things on a pedestal. I bow to the master 1,000 times a day. As a matter of fact, I love the picture is here because I'll walk, I'll look out the window, see what's happening, and then right there's master, and I'm like, oh, thank you, master. Good morning, master. Jai Guru, all the time.
Because you know he's here. You know he's well.
Because it's just a spontaneous devotion. You know, just like when you first feel the sense of
It's
presence,
love.
you
It's
absolutely know that that's the truth. You're no longer in some concept of is there a God or is there what's the Sadguru or anything like this. As you feel the subtle sense of presence for the very first time and you begin to really sit with that, then the whole concept of going like, you're no longer like, is there really a God or is there really a, you know, you don't do that anymore. It's just known. Faith, throw that out the window because faith means I don't know, but I trust and I'm going to put it into action. But you know, there's direct experience of your own self. So now you really don't have any excuse to like say, oh, you know, I don't know, or I don't have trust, or I don't have faith, or whatever. So there's devotion is bowing to the master.
Some people call faith having no question. Faith is when if you have no question anymore, then they call that faith. But
This is like a blind faith. And Maharaj absolutely says, and you can look that up on a lot of videos or even like just Google search blind faith, Sri Ramakant Maharaj. He says, don't do that.
no, I'm saying I'm not how I'm using the term. I'm saying they're just a question doesn't arise. So and
Well, the
then people make a
conviction.
word and call that when there's no question arising, they'll call that faith.
That would be conviction, not faith. Because faith
Okay,
can,
yeah.
they even say faith can be shaken, yes?
Yeah, conviction may be a better word,
Or you can have faith, but still keep doing your own thing, believing yourself to be separate. That's like the foxhole prayers of, oh God, please get me out of this one. I believe there's a God and I've really screwed up, so please help me out of this thing. Or, oh, there's no money this month. Dear God, please help me with the money. But that is not the truth. Because the conviction, knowing yourself in a real sense, okay, this number one, it passes, you know that, because there's no you there. So it's a scene that happens. You don't take any action, or maybe you do, but you don't identify as a doer, as an actor. Now, if you drive through a red light and you get a red light ticket, you go online, you pay your ticket. You don't just say, oh, well. Universe will work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's funny because when I sold cars years ago, there were people who came and they would say, Jesus came to me and told me I'm getting a Lexus. Okay, well, let's sit down, look at their credit, and you look at their how? Like, unless Jesus is going to be making your payments, I'm sorry to say, but they were totally convinced Jesus came to me and said, I'm grabbing a Lexus. Like, what the hell?
That was their ideal, so they got their ideals mixed together and they became the same ideal. Jesus and Alexis became the same ideal or something.
Faith was that Jesus wanted them to have a Lexus.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You sit with yourself. The moment, and from my own experience, the moment that I actually felt that, I didn't understand totally at that time. I just felt the sense of presence and identified that as the power greater than myself, the God of my understanding. And all I could do was bow down. Like, no longer, you go to church and they say, this is that, and they did this, and they did that, and all this, and you start to think, oh, that's really amazing. I'm going to try and form. But when you directly know, and this is why I think even in the Bible it says, if you were to see my face, you would die. And that is true. When you know this sense of presence, you die. You are not this body form. You cannot be.
It's sort of like a soft death, right? It's not like a, it's just kind
Well,
of a.
because, and that's why they talk about, I think Sri Ramana Maharshi said, die before you die. And that's what it is. There is no birth, there is no death. Even formlessness is a concept that came along with the body. I'm not body. If I'm not body, then how can birth and death affect me?
So even the
Okay, the
sense of,
presence. Go ahead.
even the sense of like, say in the last couple of days, I could say I felt like my usual identification is I'm no longer able, I'm starting to lose the so I don't know, when identification is telling you that that something is some way. And anyway, that's starting to slip away. So, in my experience, it seems like, okay, now I'm identifying less than I did a couple of days ago. And so,
Yeah, but even a couple of days ago, that's body based. So just say, and you can even just say to yourself, you don't need to, but you could say, ah, thank you, Master. Conviction is coming. I'm going deeper and deeper within my selfless self. Thank you, Master. Because also, you don't want to take ownership of this and say, I am. Because I'm meditating, because I'm going deeper, because I'm attending these talks, and maybe I listen to other videos and I read some books, I am beginning to experience myself. But
You don't want to make any kind of identification out of it.
exactly. And you don't want to create an egoistic. That's why many of the people that have been doing spirituality for 20 some odd years will never release and just remain with their selfless self because they have too much skin in the game. I meditated here, I meditated there, I went to this center, I saw this master, I went over here to this pilgrimage. And then Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, did you come born in a cave? Okay, you spent all this time in the cave, and did you come born in a cave? Like, no. So or the people that, like in the river, he talks about they stand on one leg for a very long time and the river just kind of hits them. Well, but why? You're torturing the body. That's very nice that you're doing this as like some kind of devotion, but you are not body. So therefore, anything that you do with the body is an illusion and is actually just to be tossed aside. You could say, okay, you stood in the Ganges and allowed the water to hit you, and it was torturous, and you did that, and now you know you should give that up because you are not body. You spent enough time with yourself torturing the body that you understand you should give this up because you are not body. Just like all the sadhana. Okay, you've done sadhana for long enough. Now you can give that up because you are not body.
So somehow the illusion takes over and appears to be the reality, of course, and then, but it's not, it never can be.
Once you know yourself in a real sense, nope, can't happen. You're never going to get lost in illusion because you know yourself.
I'm not saying I'm there yet, but yeah, it's like I said, I gradually getting to where I appear to be in
Well,
the other sense.
when you wake up after a dream, it's clear as day. I was dreaming. When you know yourself in a real sense, even if you don't have total conviction that the world is just a long dream because of this body, you know this. You wake up from the dream, oh, all of that was false. You know yourself in a real sense. How can this seeming world, how can you interact with it? How can space interact with the objects within it or be affected by it?
Sometimes I do get a sense that I am this some kind of it's invisibility or something. I just can't. There's, it's, I, it's nothing can. I don't know, it's just, it's like nothing. But I don't know what it's weird.
Dharmeshwar Maharaj says, stand and look at the moon, and you are that between. You're not the one looking, and you're not the moon. In between, that's your own selfless self. And you're more subtle than space. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj, Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare yourself to space or sky. But don't compare yourself to space and sky. It's if at all you have to compare yourself to space or sky.